There is Christmas, of course, and I've long argued that there are two distinct religious holidays that bear the same name. I call them homophonic holy days. There's the Christian holy day of Christmas, and a more recent secular holiday that's also called Christmas. There's Hanukkah, a minor holiday in the Jewish calendar that's been elevated in stature because of the way Christmas gets all the hype. But there's a lot more than these two at this time of year. There is Diwali, significant to Hindus, Sikhs, Buddhists, and Jains, symbolizing the victory of good over evil. There's Loy Krathong in Thailand, where people put lighted candles, incense, and coins into a small lotus-shaped boat made out of banana leaves, place it in a river, and allow the current to carry it and all of a person's bad luck away. There's the more recent Kwanzaa, the week-long celebration that has its roots in the Black nationalist movement of the 1960s and was established as a means of helping African Americans reconnect with their African cultural and historical heritage. In fact, I read somewhere, but I'm not able to confirm, that there are something like 27 different holidays and holy days during this holiday season. But unquestionably, the one that started it all was the solstice. As Lucy said, the day on which the balance between night and day tips as far toward night as it can. Thousands and thousands of years ago, our ancestors were building astonishing stone structures that, whatever else they were for, were and are still amazingly accurate markers of the winter and summer solstices. Stonehenge on the Salisbury Plain in England is probably the most famous one, but there are thousands more around the world. And each one of these stone circles was built by a people saying, "I think I can, I think I..." Kidding. Each of these stone circles was built by people who were deeply connected to the earth, the sea, the sky. People who were deeply connected to nature in all of her many forms. Neil deGrasse Tyson today may inspire many of us when he points out that the iron in our bloodstreams is the exact same element as the iron in a comet. And Carl Sagan in the 80s may have poetically taught us that we are made of star stuff. But the people who built Stonehenge and the other remarkable monuments didn't need to be told these things. They lived that truth. They did not see themselves as apart from the natural world, but rather as a part of the natural world. Here in the 21st century, we have become so distanced from the world we live in. Most of us spend much more time with concrete beneath our feet than we do grass and dirt. For many of us, if not most of us, the changing of the seasons means little more than the changing of our thermostats and how long we keep the lights on. But not them. Not our ancestors. They didn't just live in the world. They knew the world lived in them. So I'm going to throw out a new idea here, new to me at least. It came to me as I was writing this sermon. It came to me as Lucy and Cypress shared their homilies with me, and I reflected on these themes of light and dark and expectations. Here's the new idea. We are the ones who fear the descent into darkness and await the return of the sun. We, our ultra-civilized selves, and not our so-called primitive ancestors. They did not fear the shortening days and lengthening nights. They did not worry about whether the sun would ever come back. At least that was my realization. I don't think that they did. And that's because the seasons and the cycles weren't something out there. The cycles and seasons were part of them, integral to them, part and parcel of them and they of it. There was no doubt the sun would return. They expected it to. Their bones told them that it would, as did the world in which, with which, and as a part of which they lived. So with all due respect to Cyprus and the notion that I held until just this week, I do not believe that all of these light festivals were meant to call forth the light, to bring back the sun. So why all of these celebrations? Well, don't you make a big deal of it when you see an old friend who's been away for a while? And what better way to welcome back the sun than with fire? As much fire as possible. Don't get me wrong, I love Christmas, both the Christian and secular Christmases. And I value Hanukkah and Kwanzaa, but when I really want to get in touch with the reason for the season, I go back to the roots. The roots kept alive by modern Wiccans and Druids and Asatrus and other Neo and Paleo-pagan groups. Because we are made of star stuff. And these seasons and cycles live within us as we live within them, no matter how far removed we have tried to make ourselves. We cannot live over or above or outside of the natural world because we are the natural world, as are the rocks and the trees and the sun and the moon. We do not need to fear the lack of light out there or in here, nor do we need to be anxious for its return. We need to be reminded to trust it, to trust life, our life, life itself. My prayer for each of us is that in the days to come, we find such a reminder. And that we find ourselves, because of it, able to live with more confidence and more courage. May it be so.